You guys got an app?
Oh, we do all our podcasts on Vinyl.
You can't listen to music on the radio anymore.
Fuck that, the radio sucks.
We want to make it to radio, by the way.
But we have soul.
We're here with Antenna the Ant. Let's go around the horn. Let's kind of introduce the lineup in charge tonight.
Ladies first, go.
Why me first?
Ladies first. Come on, ladies.
All right.
Because gentlemen still exist.
Yeah. What do I say about myself? I'm Danny and I sing stuff.
There you go.
Yes. That worked.
I'm Brock and I hit things.
Yes.
Cool. I'm David and I play bass.
Fantastic.
You slap at the bass.
I slap at the bass. And together you guys are Antenna the End. Yes. You guys recently formed about a year ago, 2 years ago? Or how did this all happen?
Oh, shit. That story. The short of it is the three of us, basically, within the last, I would say, 2 years, roughly two, almost three. I met Danny almost 3 years ago. And I had been, this is David talking. I had been, I don't know, while you're doing your edit, you're like, who the fuck is that? Just talking. Anyway, so long story short, blah, blah, blah. Basically, been working on music, da, da, da. I had the idea of having a female vocalist involved with what I'm doing. And I was working with a horn section at the time who was doing a residency. And in Hollywood, and you know, asking around, trying to meet people in a very organic way, and that's how me and Danny met. She had gone up and played with these guys, and we met, and I showed her the music I've been working on, and she liked it, and she's awesome, and we started working together, and we met Brock. Is it been a year ago?
No, more than a year ago at this point.
It's been a year and a half now.
Year and a half. Yeah, we were just looking for a drummer. And just talking to different people. And a good friend of mine named Sako. And I was just like, Sock, do you know any fucking drummers? And he's like, bro, give me 6 months. You know?
The fact that he gave you a timeline.
Oh, yeah. No, because he's like the kind of, he's awesome. That guy's great. You know, he won't bullshit. He's like, give me 6 months. I'll figure something out. Because he builds drums, too. So I was like, who else would, you know? And then he had met Brock through the thing. And supposedly, from what he said, he goes, after you, I had talked to you, and then he hit me up again, and we talked about 3 months later. He saw you in the hallway studio.
Well, I was at a rehearsal studio in Burbank. I had like a lockout where I could go play drums. You know, I kept my own equipment there and stuff. And Sako, and was he there with Shabo, right?
Yeah,
they had like a room upstairs where Sako would build his drums, and Shabo kept all his stuff there. And so I just hadn't met Sako randomly, and I'd go up and hang out with him, and we'd, you know, shoot the shit and talk about drums and music and stuff. And so I knew him a little bit. He was cool.
And he set me up. He's like, yo, this kid is great. I've heard him play. He's a really, you know, he's a good soul. You need people like this in your world. Why don't you guys jam? No, straight up. I mean,
it's a true story.
Because, I mean, LA musician world could get really weird and crazy, especially the whole Craigslist thing. That is just, terrible. So, you know, everyone that's kind of been involved, it's all really organic. And, yeah, and Brock came in the, you know, our sphere, and, you know, and it was like, all right, cool. Let's do this. We started jamming, and So now this thing is actually, to me, like, I think Antenna the End is like being born now in 2016. Like, whatever things I've worked on before, because I've been working on these songs for a long time. Like, and even when me and Danny met and I showed her stuff, we were working together. It's like, now it's like finally coming to a place where this thing is going to launch. Is the signal good?
No. Yeah. Fantastic.
It's fantastic. All right, cool. I just want to make sure.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Just for editing, David, right?
David, David.
Editing, David, on the editing part. On the editing. Of course I recognize your voice.
The blue mic. Whatever that means.
Yeah, because I'll get confused with Danny, you know. Yeah. So like,
no, that's awesome. That's cool. And it what you said, you were looking for it to be organic, and it seems like it became organic.
It's I mean, the whole process.
I mean, it has to be, right? Like, well, you can't.
What matters the most in any type of musical situation is the people, like, more than anything. You know, like, the music can be awesome or whatever, but if the people aren't cool. And they don't
people
vibe.
Are dicks. The music.
Yeah. Everybody. Everybody's a dick.
Doesn't work like that in the podcasting world.
Like, I hate this guy. In fact, we're gonna be fighting right after this. Yeah.
We spend so many hours together in theater and, you know, on tour and everything that, like, you would just. I mean, you have to like each other.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Of course. Now, yeah. I mean, this show's already awesome.
Too, that helps you like one another.
Yeah, for real. Already, this show, already good references. Socko, System of the Down, David, who I can recognize from the blue mic. Let's talk about another reference, Tanqueray. Tanqueray, we're going to do this show on a cute. I call it cute by the way you guys explain on how much... Everyone seems to drink. That's like, looks like a cute bottle, but Tanqueray is the reference, and it's funny because gin is supposed to be a alcohol or a spirit for cocktails, and we are drinking it just straight up. I mean, the only thing we have is oxygen and plastic cup mixed with the Tanqueray. I think that's fantastic.
A great chaser, though. I mean, it's good.
I like oxygen with all my drinks.
I know, it's good. On the rocks.
Get some gin and oxygen.
I just hate when they, like, you know, they charge you for it, you know?
The oxygen?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Right now in downtown, they'll charge you for it. Yeah. 14
Dude,
bucks.
What was it? On fucking New Year's, down the street, they charged me $2 for ice. On each drink?
Well, that's pretty much oxygen.
Was it a...
Yes! With a little bit of hydrogen thrown in.
Oh, damn, we got scientific.
Science.
H2O.
Yeah, a lot of people think gin is from England. It's actually Dutch.
Really?
Gin got created in the Netherlands. And it's called Dutch Courage. Gin is also known as Dutch Courage. They created it, and there was a war in the 17th century, the 30 Years' War, and the English were there, and they're like, "What the fuck is this?"
And they took it.
Let's bring it back home. And it didn't. It was until another 150 years until the English finally made their own gin.
Wow.
It's funny how you said there was a 30-year... Like, no, there was a war. Like oh, there was a war. And then you said a 30-year war. That's a fucking long-ass time.
It is. That's the name of the war. And it is a long time. But you know what?
That's
it
doesn't most beat, of our lifetimes.
It doesn't, beat, it doesn't beat Reagan's Dare War. Remember that? Oh, I guess it does. Reagan's gone. But remember the Dare War? It was like, dude, everyone's so... In fact, thanks to that, I think everyone loves drugs now. Like...
wait, dude. We saw the Dare guy out in front of Ralph's a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were still doing a Dare doing campaign.
It straight up?
Uh-huh.
Were they giving t-shirts?
Yeah,
they
t-shirts.
Huh? Fucking awesome.
Yeah. We totally blew him off, remember, because we were in a hurry, and he walked up to us, and he's like, hey, guys. He's like, you remember the Dare campaign? And we were like, dude, we can't talk right now, bro. We got to go.
The Philippines, they consume close to 50% of all gin sold in the world.
That's crazy.
The Philippines, really?
Yeah,
really?
The Philippines.
You've been doing some research on gin.
On
I love
gin.
It.
Oh, wait, there's a band here too, Fonz. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, there's a band here too. No, let's talk about gin.
Yeah. No, but yeah, dude, that's...
Are you guys trying to like get an endorsement? Like, you're like, yeah. Hey, I'm hoping
you are. Can you hook us up? Because...
We're half Filipino.
Well, today we will be.
What is the gin they drink in the Philippines?
All the different labels, pretty much a lot. There aren't too many Dutch gin anymore. English, the England takes the cake with all of it, and so a lot of it is all Tank the different
Beef Eater,
exactly. Gordon's, all that. But I think it's like 40 in the high 40s percentage of all the gin purchased in the world.
I still have Dutch gin.
You do?
From the World Cup.
From the Yeah. That's right. Dang. That's
so me and Walt went to the World Cup in Germany, right?
Okay.
So
what year?
2006. Wow. So we went to the Germany World Cup, and we went to three games. After that, we spent it was over two weeks.
No, 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Nine of those days we spent in Amsterdam. So I came back with like three bottles of gin, and I still have like two left from 2006.
You're a slow gin drinker, bro.
You should have brought that today.
Yeah, seriously. That's what I was thinking, man.
Next time. Show number two. All right. Got it. You guys give me a reason to open it now.
Yeah.
Let's do this gin.
All right, at 10 of the end.
Let's do it.
All right. End of the year.
How does, in this recording studio, how does gin come about in here? Like, where does that come from? Me and Fonz are bourbon drinkers.
The store.
But like, did all of you guys were like, oh shit, you like gin too? I like gin too. Or like, why is that a group favorite here?
I personally don't like vodka, so I won't really drink vodka if it's here. So I think Dave was just kind enough to like not.
No, I mean I started. No, I was.
But you drink that too. Like
when I first met you, I was already drinking. Like that was like my little go-to.
Yeah, totally.
I have phases where every 2-3 years, I change. No, I'm serious. I do. I've been doing this a long time.
You're what, alcohol habit?
No, just music.
I have a cycle, and I schedule it this way. And every 3 years, change it to this. And
When people ask, like, are you an alcoholic? No, I stop, like, every 3 months. Every 3 months. To a different alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, I like, you know, different. And I think just about 3 years ago or so, gin became the new, okay, what's, you know. Because I did, like, 2-3 years of, like, you know, trying all the different tequilas, the super high end, the super, you know, and you know, you just kind of. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic.
See, I was just trying to make you look like a gentleman, but you decided to take it to a whole other level.
Listen, I enjoy a cocktail every now and then. But yeah, gin became the new thing, and when we first started working together, I was like, yeah. She's like, I hate vodka. I'm like, well, there's gin, so here you go.
That wasn't it. No, I drank a lot of really shitty vodka in college.
Potato vodka, I imagine?
Dude, $10 handles.
McCormick's?
Fleischmann's, which if you know, exactly. Whoa. Not only do you, if you knew what Fleischmann's they also make butter. And they're based in like Midwest kind of like
Lando Lakes vodka. Lando Lakes.
So and we would cut try with butter. We would try and distill that in Brita filters in college. And it would it's $10 handle. $10 handle is like the $30.
It's $8 for the plastic.
Yeah, right.
When you recycle it. When you recycle it.
Yeah, it is. When you recycle it. No, yeah, we did it like because we read about that it would work, and so we decided to try it because we were poor, broke college kids, and you know, and I think we like filtered it like through the system, you know, several times, definitely more than a dozen times, and it got like a little bit better, but it just made us realize we were like, oh fuck, we would have to do this like 500 times.
What does the filtering do? I don't get it.
Well, it's like I guess it took some of the harshness out. I don't know. Like, well, whatever.
I think if you're a college student, it filters what used to be in the actual container. Yeah. Like, I'm sure
the moral of the story is now I don't like vodka.
gin is in. 2006, the year of gin. Fonz?
So, since we're talking about alcohol.
El Fonz,
yeah. So, since we're talking about alcohol, there's a campaign going out because Lemmy died, right? So there's a campaign going on right now that's rest in peace, Lemmy.
Rest in peace.
Thanks, Walt, for giving up that.
70, he did it.
What?
Rest in rock and roll.
There you go.
And the heart's in the middle, right? So you gotta go like that.
Okay. Twist it to the side. So there's a campaign going on right now that they're trying to change the rum and coke. Mm-hmm. Or no, I'm sorry, not rum and coke. What the fuck am I talking about?
Jack and coke
to a Lemmy.
That's awesome.
Cool. So all the fans and everybody's trying to switch that up. So
how did that start? Like, who started
just
that?
A bunch of fans, just a bunch of Motorhead fans.
Antenna the End did in 2016. Right now, breaking news, breaking news, dude. They did it.
So next, so now, wait. Now order a Lemmy, right?
Order a Lemmy.
Let's do that.
Love it. Let's
right?
do it. You know, that's it. Lemmy.
Order a Lemmy.
Well, we can include that in our hashtag campaign that we're starting for
Fly.
We're starting new like social phrases that we're going to try to introduce into different
experiments, you know.
Yeah, experiments.
Cultural experiments.
I got a really good one. Don't listen to Walter and Fawn show. That's that will take you
#don't.
That will take you a lot of nowhere.
There you go. Love it.
Well, it's right. especially in LA, like you kind of start to follow fad. Like there are a lot of people who follow fads, right? So we want to just like walk into bars and just like start phrases, be like, "Oh, this is really hilarious to say," like you know,
well,
subtly,
a good
like,
one. I like that.
Yeah, no, order a Lemmy, perfect. Ours was dope fly.
Yeah, you gotta tell about your cousin with the.
Oh, I like this. I like where this is going. Wait, what did you say? Repeat that again.
Dope fly.
It's dope fly, bro.
Fly. Dope
fly, bro.
Hold on. No, like dope fly, bro. Like dope
fly, bro.
Like dope,
D-O-P-E.
Yeah, and fly,
but not like dope, like weed, but like it's cool. Like,
I mean, it could be
dope,
but it's like two dope, words bro. Together, and you're probably going, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Dope fly, bro.
But dude, you gotta
say
dope.
It like that.
But you gotta tell the backstory.
Do you want to hear the backstory?
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah. All right, so basically, early '90s when the word dope. That everyone was using and the word fly, you know, people would go, yo, that shit is dope. Yeah. Oh, that's fly, right? Yeah. So I have a cousin from Armenia visiting. Actually, no, he moved here at that point with his mom and whatever, my dad's sister. And he would hear words and he's 17 years old. He's hanging out with us. We're the same age. And he would hear all the, you know, English, you know, cultural slang and all the bullshit. But he doesn't really put one and one together. And he didn't realize that these are just words you would hear, but he would put his own versions of it. So he would say things like, dope fly, bro. And it was the best fucking thing in the world. And we would be like, what the fuck did you just say? And he's like, yeah, dope fly. Like, because he would hear us say dope. Like, that shit is dope. And he would hear us say fly. Thanks, Danny. And then he put it together. And that was like, he would just say it. And who were we to shut him up? And that's what he would do. And he would actually have success with random women the way his character was. And he would say, dope fly, bro. I'm going home with the girl. And we're like, dope fly. Oh, shit.
Like a living Borat.
He was like a living 17-year-old Borat that was getting like, we would sneak into college parties and he would get tail with his fucking dope fly shit. And we would just be like scratching our heads going, what the fuck? But hey, we love him. So long story short, recently, as me and Danny were joking about something, I don't know how it came up, but I said, oh yeah, my cousin used to say this when we were kids, and to this day, I just think it's the most funniest fucking thing, how he put these two words together, and he made his own little, like, slang, and she said it while we were recording our last video into the camera, and I thought it was, like, the funniest thing, that this blonde, blue-eyed girl is going, dope fly, bro! So
that's the hashtag?
Hashtag dope fly, and last night when we were out just, like, jumping around bars, we were doing like the whole hipster bar scene bullshit last night, and everyone that like looked at me straight in the eye, I looked at him and said, dope fly, bro.
let it be known
dope fly bro
#dopefly bro and gin is in 2016.
Yeah. #gin 2016.
Let the fucking skinny jeans be gone and let Dope Fly Bro be in.
These aren't skinny jeans. I'm just fat.
I wasn't even talking about you. Shit. Those are some pretty sick skinny jeans. I mean, healthy calves.
Healthy calves.
But you got the, dude, you do have the hipster shoes on.
Dude, I've been wearing boots like this for fucking 20 years. I'm sick of this hipster nonsense.
Here's the thing. If you're a hipster, you're a hipster if you don't have a back problem, because like styles have like repeated so long that those who wear it and they have back problems, they're old. And it's like, I've been wearing this since back in the day. Like, I got a freaking herniated disc in L4. Like, if you don't know what L4 means, then you're a hipster.
Guess what? I have an 8mm herniated disc.
Oh. L4, L5.
Are you serious? Yeah.
Do you need an MRI?
First of all,
It's not with me, but I do have an MRI. What up, Bella?
Bella.
Bella.
Don't fly, bro.
Don't fly, bro.
Hi.
Walt, nice.
Don't fly.
This is Bonzo.
Hi, Alphonse. Hi.
When you said that the nature of it, 8mm is a lot. Yeah. That's like, I mean, literally, you got a pinky sticking out of your L4.
Are you talking about Dave's back?
Oh yeah.
I mean,
of course we are.
He's like, I said pinky sticking out, not pinky in.
But you just met a new doctor that cured you.
Well,
right?
He's not cured. Like, he hasn't cured shit, but he's like helped me with a lot of. It's insane. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you brought that up.
So he's taking away your tail.
He's taking away my tail.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I know. He's just doing all this kind of crazy like body work on me, basically opening up the upper back and all this, but that's hilarious that you said that. If you don't have a back problem,
then you're not a hipster. Yeah. You're legit.
You're not American if you don't have a back problem.
Yeah, all right, moving right along.
So why didn't you go down? Why didn't you go right next door?
Right next door.
Yeah, bath massage.
The bath and,
they don't do L4, man.
No, they don't do L4.
Just tell them don't fly, bro.
Yeah, don't.
I love it. I love it. On that note, you guys, you want to take a break?
You're an animal. What kind of animal are you? Just an animal. What kind of animal are you? You're an animal. What kind of animal are you? Just an animal. Three sides. Every animal. Wrong, good, truth, right.
What's happening in that? Is that the latest thing you guys finished recording, or is that? Tell us about that track.
Sure. You wanna go?
Yeah. So we what's out so far? We have our first EP, and this is a single that's gonna come out with a music video. It's gonna give, you know, a good like visual and energy for what the band is. And we're just going in to record our album, so it's going to be very much like a segue into like a full.
Yeah, we record next week. We start
it
next week.
It's going to be a this month experience. So
2-inch reel. Recording on 2-inch reel, man.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
No,
that's old school guy.
For sure. It's
Who's
true.
Who's got the tape cutting duties?
The engineer. That, dude. I ain't cutting shit.
I think that's fantastic. Yeah. That's a way to do it. Yeah. And obviously, you guys probably know, but for a lot of the listeners, it gives it a warmer sound when you go through tape, right?
It's bigger.
Why did you guys choose that?
I mean, for the most part, it just, I don't know, for my ears, it sounds better.
Well, yeah, you've actually even said like it's a warmer sound. It's
That's like the status quo. It's a warmer sound. You get that lower distortion, low harmonic bass frequency, blah blah blah. But ultimately, for bass and drums, it sounds fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. And you know, been working on these songs for some time, and want to give it the respect it deserves. So why not?
Especially with this music, where there's just a lot of low end and a lot of.
I mean, it's a rhythmic-driven thing, you know, and and Brock's an amazing drummer, so why not put his fucking drums on 2-inch reel?
The drums, in my opinion, always sound better non-digital. I think the digital world makes it convenient, but it takes away of kind of, you know, there's guitarists, to use the the example of guitarists is like guitarists can play the same notes, but there's a feel for it or a bend or Carlos Santana, you say women was my motivation for the way I play guitar. But I think drums get cut out sometimes in the digital world. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Brock?
Yeah. Definitely when you're approaching drums from a sonic standpoint, like the digital world doesn't fully encompass like the drum sound that you can get from tape, like just that warmth. And you can the drums will sound bigger. I feel like too many people get like engineers and even drummers get caught up in the digital world with drums, where they're looking at when you're running a Pro Tools session, they're looking at drums on the grid, and they're thinking about how it lines up with the click by visually viewing it. And so when you're doing that, you're not listening to the drums. So there's like a spirit that comes behind working with tape, which I've actually never even worked with tape. This is gonna be my first time, so I'm really stoked to do it. But there's just something that comes with thinking about how music was made back in the day, pre-digital world, where people weren't looking at a computer screen. Engineers and musicians weren't looking at a computer screen when they're recording.
They're just listening.
They're listening to the music. So there's a whole different aspect of being connected to the music on a level that I feel like you only get when you're just recording to tape, because you're not thinking about, you're not seeing it visually on the grid. So
well, then in the frequency range that tape captures, like especially for high end, it's I mean, we could nerd out on this for days, and I'll tell you like a very simple quick example that has to do with this band. So the songs that you guys heard on the EP, right? So
yeah,
the three songs, blah blah blah, Muffin Scarf you were talking about earlier, and the two other songs of Our Lives with the bass thing and all that. But like those songs, those were like actually demos. We were just screwing around with that in our old studio, and as it came together, it was like, oh man, wow, this actually sounds pretty okay. Like this is okay, cool. But I wasn't planning on this being an EP, and we were just doing it all in Pro Tools on a very simple system, LE system, whatever. And then as I started mixing it and everything, I was like, man, this thing is sounding really great. Then I had a buddy of mine actually do like he's like a professional mixer. He does a mix. It sounded great, but there was like something that just wasn't vibing right. And I met this guy, I call him the tape guru, who just like, he rebuilt a tape machine in the last year, like a 30-year-old tape machine. He took some Sony tape machine, rebuilt it, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yo, man, I'm going to bring some music over to you. Throwing on some tape. Let's see what the fuck your 2-inch reels do. Like, I want to just see it.
Dope.
Know? Next thing I know, he puts it on tape.
Don't fly, bro.
Don't fly, bro. So he puts it on tape, and I swear to God, it was like all of a sudden, this music that, you know, I'm so accustomed to listening to, and there was like harsh kind of hi-hat low, you know, shit going on and whatever. All of a sudden, it was like, dude, this sounds like a Fleetwood Mac record. What the fuck? It's just because we transferred it to tape?
Yeah.
On an older episode, we had a guy who, he's a bass player, and he said, you know what? The bass is the wheels of the bus. And I was like, dude, that fucking is rad. And that always rings. And then the first thing I hear is Of Our Lives. And it starts with the bass line, and it is fantastic because the bass line doesn't just make the song, because there's so many other pieces that you didn't think were gonna later come out. So how does that get created? I mean,
so basically, I write from the standpoint of the bass, just because I play bass. It's all just a natural. I mean, I wish I could get like really articulate about it, but I can't. It's really stupid. It's
okay. Fonz, we didn't buy enough Tanqueray.
Yeah, you need more Tanqueray, dude. No, it's as dumb as, you know, you have a melody in your head, you sit down, you pick up your instrument, and you have the most simplistic way of like approaching it, and, you know, you build a structure around it without realizing it.
And so it got created, but then how did everything else happen? Like, how did you get from that to the final track? Product?
I mean, you know, I started working with Danny, like, God, fuck, it's been 3 years. It's crazy. And it's been a very awesome, organic process. In fact, the first 6 months, she was involved with this band. The band has had some member changes constantly. It's just been this like, I have this concept for this band, and I've been writing these songs, and I would have like friends of mine come in and out and this and that. So when I met her, I was just working with her. Was it, that wasn't 6 months. It was probably like 3 months before you met anyone else in the band.
No, it was way more than 3 months. It so was she more would than 3 months. I remember I would joke about, like, I was like, does this band actually exist? And at the same time, his drummer, the drummer at the time, who was the drummer from his former band, Apex Theory, would just be like, so does this singer actually exist?
Yeah, they would ask me, like, so there's a female singer that's going to be involved with this band? I was like, yes, it's going to soon.
No, she exists.
You know, like this. But it's a female. Yeah. It happens.
Just imagine,
there.
Like, my yeah. voice, but, like, better. So it'd be like,
There was the tiny, like, back of my head, just like protective woman part of me that was just like, so I really hope I'm not like falling for some really great long con of like, oh yeah, there's a band.
Question. It's basically like, yeah, you know, you start with some random idea, some sort of inspiration, a lyric, life, something. And, you know, and then I bring it to, at that point, you know, Danny. Hey, Danny, I have this idea. Check this out. Boom, boom, brap, boom, whatever. And just fuck with it. And, you know, now Brock's taking on to it and doing his own thing to it, whatever. But, like, yeah. Well, it's just tough to explain how you write music.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's just an inspiration. And you just kind of, you know, because with this music especially, you know, I mean, I've been working on it myself, but then I'm very open arms too about it, you know, and they know this. It's just like, all right, what do you guys feel about this? What, I mean, I have these ideas. This is the overall kind of thing. This is like the story that popped in my head, or this is the shit I had to deal with that, you know, drove me crazy. And this song came out, you know, but as soon as, you know, it was like me and her start working, and then Brock.
Well just in. to give credit due where it's due. I didn't play on the EP. That was what's his name? Vartan.
A buddy of mine forever, yeah. You know. I mean, again, it was like one of those things
where I wasn't involved with the project
yet. The song
has
definitely existed far before.
But
that,
you do
though.
Play it now when you guys play it live.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah.
And we're going to
re-record.
But
I it was very much the same energy and the same emotion far before Vartan was part of the mix and before anybody. I mean, it was Dave's creation, and then just kind of grew out of Dave and me vibing. hanging out as artists and as creatives and understanding the thing about like a lot of these songs is that it's a story and it's a journey, you know. So each one kind of has its own has its own path, and a lot of stuff like we'll just kind of jam and fuck around with it, and it doesn't sound like anything until like the way end, you know.
Yeah.
Or we'll like together. Hate something for like 5 years.
Put it on the back.
Hasn't even been 5 years, and we'll hate something for 5 years.
Feels like it.
Yeah, it feels like five.
Definitely. Right. Yeah.
Man versus Mad World. One, are you guys currently still? Is that a final product? And two, what I listened to was behind Steve Cutts, the illustration.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it because I love two things. I love that cartoon piece, but I really love the track. The track is really cool. And so how did those two like marry and have Tanqueray for Babies?
You mean Babies. The song, the Mad World song, and like that
cartoon.
That cartoon. The cartoon.
You found that, didn't you?
Yeah,
like some random...
I was I mean, you know, you're always randomly looking for shit, or you you have your few websites that you love random things from. And it was one of those things where it was like, I saw some of his work and I was like, blah, 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 this looks good. And then when I saw that, I was like, oh shit, for some reason, this kind of could work for that song. And I emailed him. I emailed him twice.
We didn't hear back from him. Because
he's in London, right?
Yeah, he's in London.
You know, and it was more of a like, you know, dude, you're fucking awesome. Yeah. Like, we think that you would vibe with our stuff. And like, we just kind of want to cut together something and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. You know, I mean,
or could email him.
We've whatever. Given him credit on everything. Yeah. Like he's awesome.
Yes, you have. For sure you have.
We definitely have. We've used him on Instagram stuff. Like if we ever get any kind of like whatever the video, give it to him.
Did he respond?
No.
He never responded.
Yeah,
he
never responded.
Never got back.
Fonz, what do you think? You want to make that happen? Make respond? You want to make him respond?
Let's do it.
To something. Hemorrhoids. We'll make him respond to hemorrhoids.
Steve Kutz, man. All of his stuff is great.
It's gold. Genius. I love it. I love it. It's so rad. Steve Kutz. And it's funny. Yeah. It's funny because when I was hearing the track and I was like, who made this? Or no, you guys put it underneath in the credits. And then I like looked into what he did. And I was like, I remembered a lot of stuff of what he had already done. Not a lot, but some of the stuff that he was already that had already been on his website. Yeah. I was like, yes, yes. And I was like, dude, this is rad. So I would have not found or came across that website if it weren't for you guys plugging him in. And
Perfect.
So
that's cool.
Yeah, and yeah, he does awesome. Great work.
Muffin Scarf. What is that story? Like, what is the story you're telling in Muffin Scarf?
That's a good question, Dave.
That is a good question.
I don't even know if I know what it's about. I don't even know yet. Dave hasn't told us.
There we go.
You know, not, this isn't only Keep a podcast. This is a band retreat. That's what's going on right now.
Is this like band therapy? And like,
expect Phil Collins tracks right now, and everyone holding hands right now.
So, what is that song about?
What's the story? Yeah.
Fuck, man. It's like now I'm gonna get serious about this shit. Fuck.
That's cool.
Keep it light.
No, man. Keep it how you want.
Well, it's fine. Yeah, I'll keep it.
Dude,
yeah,
we got tissue.
and then she hit me again.
Take it. Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
Don't fly, bro. Come on.
Don't fly, bro. Why not? Muffin Scarf. The title of the song really doesn't have that much to do with the song. It does, but it doesn't. It has more to do with like the original riff and some of the effects I was using on the riff. And someone had told me, okay, do you guys really want to know the story?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, but sure, I'll tell you guys. Someone said, I was working on that song and I had a buddy that I was like playing some music with back and forth. And I love the guy to this day. But we got in some real heated arguments about music and this and that. And I use a lot of certain kind of distortions on my bass guitar. They're called muff pedals. They're the Russian big muff pedals
old Russian muff. Well, not that old school.
No, it's pretty old school, which is awesome.
Yeah. And I actually have a bunch of them. They don't make them anymore. Anyway, I love the way that thing sounds. So I would always use them on this and that. And when I was working with this guy, he's an amazing player, but for some reason, he kind of plays like my old guitar player for my old band. And I would tell him, yo, dude, like, you gotta like be a little more original. Like, you're not, you know, I don't want to repeat what I've done and this and that, and you're just sounding like da da da. And then one time, I think it was like cold outside, and I had my scarf on. And he said something like, well, you think your muff and your scarf are going to change the world or something? And when he said, your muff and your scarf, I said, muffin scarf? And it just stuck in my head. I was like, that's the stupidest fucking phrase, but I like it. And I already had the bass line in mind, and I had the melody in mind. And I was just like, that song's called Muffin Scarf. So there isn't this like, you know, lyrical story. It's just more like, that's what I felt the melody.
But what are the lyrics about?
Well, the lyrics are actually more about being active in your life. That's what it's about. Because it was a lot of talk in the moment, and it wasn't a lot of, you know, doing. And that's, you know, the chorus is, don't say what you do, do what you say. So it's just like, just fucking actions, man. So that's it.
So the take-home message is...
No, what's the takeaway?
Fucking do it. Don't be a muffin scarf.
Yeah, don't be a muffin scarf. Just fucking do it.
Muffin scarf. Love it.
Hashtag.
Hashtag muffin
scarf. Fucking stupid hashtags. Which, by the way, according to fucking Beethoven, that's a sharp, not a fucking hashtag. Sorry, I had to say that for all music nerds out there.
And you know what? Hash is breakfast or fucking drugs.
There you go.
Not tags.
There are so many meanings to every word, right?
That is true.
And three sides to every animal, which you just heard if you heard the break.
Oh yeah, we never got back to animal. We
We never touched on it.
Look at that. Danny just did a segue. You going to thank Danny on that one?
So the Danny and Danny show.
Yeah, the Danny and Danny show.
Danny has taken over. Yeah,
no, I haven't.
You know what I feel like, Fonz? I feel like we're those two old guys in the Muppets, like, standing over like, oh, a good show would be a no show.
Honestly, didn't even realize what I was saying until I said it, and I was like, oh, hey, that was clever.
This is now called the Randolph and Mortimer show from Trading Places.
Mortimer.
Randolph and Mortimer. That's great.
Randolph!
I bet you they don't know what you guys are talking about. Do you guys know what
Yeah, because they're doing the Muppets again. So, yeah, they're in there, too.
No, really? Yeah, no, Randolph really is Trading Places.
That's Trading Places.
Oh,
that's the one.
Randolph!
That's the $1 bet.
Oh, yeah.
That's the $1 bet.
And they get it back and come into America. They're on the freaking bums on the bridge, dude.
Well, the guy...
That's your movie right there.
I know. Woo! This is a whole different thing, but the guy who directed that movie... I love that movie. That's one of my favorite movies.
Which one? Trading Places? Oh, fantastic.
He's like a total conspiracy theorist, and he only...
Even better.
Yeah. And I don't know if
we should get him on the show.
Interesting. Yeah,
well, I think he actually... After that movie, there was like a... Like, within the 80s, he just slowly stopped doing what he's doing. And part of the reason is I think he... I mean, not to get too crazy, not to get too conspiracy theory.
Usually sentences that start with but, they are.
Yeah.
Amen, motherfucker.
Yeah, you know what it is? I mean, he was trying to show, you know, how there's powers that be that control. I mean, there was also, in that movie, it's like, you know, one of the two, you know, nurture versus nature. Is that the right...
Yeah. The characters in that, I can't remember.
Yeah, because
their
names. They take like a kid, you know, a black homeless guy off the street, and they make him a multimillionaire, quote unquote. And Dan Aykroyd's character is the you know, the white guy, and then he becomes the homeless guy, and this and that. I mean, it's an amazing story, and it's like basically he was trying to show that a lot of what's happening in the economic world with in different kinds of classes and cultures around America. There's like a control over it. And is it really nature versus nurture? You know, is it, you know, the fact that someone does have a little bit more, I mean, beyond money, but like just that push that, you know, all of a sudden they could actually succeed. And that poor fucker who, you know, no one's given that love.
Well, it's almost like an added aspect to the nurture part, right? So like there's like nature versus nurture, but like, above all of that, like your nature will kind of almost decide some of your nurture. It's kind of fucked up, isn't it?
I'm trying to understand what you mean by that.
It is, and that's deep.
That's deep. You know what I mean?
Ooh, all right. Deep. 2016. Gin is in.
No, man.
By the way, this is our first interview as Antenna the End.
Oh, yeah, what do you think about that, Fonz?
Yeah. No, that's just not our style.
Well, then I'm sorry that this is your first interview. So, public apology.
This is the best way it could have been. Like, show people, like, fuck that
this
shit.
This is really cool. This is really cool. You guys coming down, all that stuff. But, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, man. I just...
What I want to know is, what do you guys currently listen to? And how does that compare to what you guys were listening to in high school? Because I thought about that, listening to your sound, and I really enjoyed it, and I loved it. And then so obviously I thought, like, I wonder what their influences are. And then I was like, that's going to get asked, or that's going to come out. I want to figure out, why did I like this? But maybe I wasn't into that in high school, or maybe I would have been. But there are sure a hell of a lot of bands that I really like now.
Right.
That can be new or old, but I just wasn't into. So I want to know, going down the line, is what do you guys like now compared to what were you guys, or what did you guys like in high school?
Go, Danny.
Now I'm you defer starting? To Danny? Yeah. Now you defer to Danny?
Seriously, man. Like you, oh, wow.
What?
Okay. No, okay. Well, okay. So, yeah, Dave will have a completely different answer. And
good.
He creates a lot of the rhythm of this band. So
what are you listening to right now, and how is that different from high school?
To be honest, in high school, I was listening to a lot of jazz, a lot of classic rock. I grew up on classic rock. I had a very structured approach to music until about college, when I just was just like, fuck this, my spirit is a little bit wider than that. So for me, a lot of my inspiration vocally is my training in jazz and musical theater and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah.
Well, you said classic rock and then you said more structured music. Can you give us an example?
So
Foghat probably is the classic rock.
Classic rock. Let's see. vocalists that have inspired me are Oh my god. Fucking A. Grace Slick, Jefferson Airplane is a good way to start. Ella Fitzgerald is a good way to go.
Wait, this is currently or now? Right now, that's what you're listening to, or in high school?
No, that's cool. Inspiration.
That's a okay, so that's inspiration. Alanis Morissette is also kind of a little bit definitely in the root of my voice. What did you say? Ironic? No.
You said when she was on Nickelodeon.
Joni
Mitchell.
As far as what I'm listening to now, I honestly
Joni Mitchell.
Right now, like, Joni Mitchell. Well, yeah, Joni Mitchell.
We always say that there's moments where Danny reminds us of Joni Mitchell.
But I sound like Joni Mitchell.
Yeah. For Halloween, she's gonna be Joni Mitchell. I'm gonna be Dylan.
I could pull her off.
Wait, do your Bob
like
Dylan.
Middle part.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about that. Bella, are you really bored right now?
I like it.
He does a great Bob Dylan. Good, like, singing just, Bob everything.
What do you mean? It just feels like you have, like, a little bit of constipation.
It's all opposite. Don't use your diaphragm when you talk.
It's a lot of, like, yeah.
Hey,
yeah, it's like you got to fucking
do you need a fiber one bar?
Really bad. Yeah.
Jams,
all right. Brock, what say you?
All right, okay, obviously being a drummer, like originally, like the music I would get into would be drum related, like who are drummers that I like that I'm into. Probably like when I was younger, like in high school, like two of the drummers that I would gravitate to more than any other guys would be number one, Vinnie Colaiuta. I don't know if you heard about him before. Vinnie Colaiuta, he's local here in LA. He's like a session guy, but he's played for a lot of artists. Like, he's a really great musician. He can play any style.
Drum nerds love him.
Yeah, but it's not just like drum nerd.
He's awesome
stuff. He's he's a real musician that no matter what musical situation he's introduced into, like, he becomes what he needs to become, from like his playing style to like the equipment he uses to just all that, like his approach with the project and all that. So anyway, stepping aside, like Vinnie Colaiuta, Tony Williams, that's like another guy I listened to. So I was into a lot of stuff that they were doing, and I would look up records they played on and listen to them. And then Tony wasn't as varied, like within all the different music projects he would get involved with, but he played for like Miles Davis. That was like the big gig he had for a long time. Played like a ton of Miles records back in the 60s and 70s. And he had some of his own stuff going on in the 80s. And so anyway, like, that was me in like high school. Like, I was into drum stuff. But, you know, trying to mature musically and grow up, like, you, as a drummer, you need to get involved into listening to good music. And just like real music that comes from the soul. And it's not about being a drum nerd. Right,
it's
like,
not about the drums.
Yeah, it's not about that. So,
but drums have to be amazing. But it's not about the drums.
Yeah, but you, but like, you're as a drummer, like, your ear changes as you get older. Where just like the older you get, the simpler the music is, the more pleasing it is to your ear, and you love it. So, I've just been listening to a lot of like really straight ahead stuff lately. But I mean, I can't even like sit here and name stuff because every day. Like, I listen to music all day. Like, that's all I could do, all I do. And so, I mean, literally, it's like I'm listening to country, like, for a little bit, like, listening to some old, like, Johnny Cash and, like, Merle Haggard, stuff like that, like, Tammy Wynette, Patsy Cline. And then I'll listen to jazz and listen to everybody. And then go to, like, all the stuff that's coming out right now that you hear, like, on, like on the radio with a lot of the pop stuff, like the top 40. Like, it's good to listen to that stuff as a musician. Like, you want to hear what's going on right now, because that helps you like within your own realm of creating music and all that, seeing what's relevant. So
it's just, it helps you know what sucks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
True, at this day and age, yeah.
So it's just, it's literally all over the place. Like, I listen to everything. Like, some like really straight ahead mainstream stuff I've been listening to lately, just like, because I like to get into bands every now and then, where I pick one random band and I just listen to them nonstop. And I've been listening to the Deftones,
okay,
like crazy, yeah. for some reason I just never got into the Deftones, but the last like 6 months all I've listened to is Deftones. And Saturday Night Wrist is probably the record that I've been listening to the most. And that's my favorite Deftones record.
Fat Mexican dudes from Sacramento.
Yeah. Yeah. Saturday Night Wrist is an amazing record. It's an amazing record.
Nice.
I love it.
Yeah, that's cool. Wait, so Deftones now, that's your thing.
Yeah. And even
it's
like...
It's good because there's so many tracks.
Yeah. And that record too, like just besides the music, like looking at the record as far as like the production goes and like the sonic quality of the record... Like, it's a sick record, and the tones they get and the sounds and the way they're translated onto the recording. Like, it's really cool stuff.
Nice. Really cool. Yeah. David, what about you?
Listening to today? Or,
Either or. Before, does it differ from what you listened to when you were in high school?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, high school was like... Pearl Jam and Nirvana, man. I'm an old dude. I remember seeing Deftones at the Dragonfly in L.A.
That's not even there anymore.
It's still there.
It still exists?
It exists, but it's not the same thing. I mean, that was back like in the mid-90s. You know,
Coconut Teaser, remember that place?
That was great. They had the acoustic shows downstairs. They had the... I remember seeing Cold Chamber there, like for the first time. You guys know what that is?
Yeah, exactly.
It was all that shit in the late 90s, you know? What are you saying?
Loco? Was that their single? Loco, right?
Yeah. They're nice guys. But I don't know. I mean, for me, like, most of the stuff that I listen to, or just collectively we listen to or we share, like, I don't think it's anything that even, like, comes, you know, like, has any... real links to the music that's happening with this band. Like, I like listening to Tom Waits like all day, all night.
She hates Tom Waits.
I do hate Tom Waits.
You need an L4 herniated disc to finally appreciate it, to mature enough to finally appreciate
it.
There's so much pain in Tom Waits' voice. You have to have a herniated disc to like to get it.
Like a 4 to 6 is like Leonard Cohen. 6 to 8 is Tom Waits. And then 8 to 10 is Nick Cave.
Yeah, but that's
how it goes.
I love Nick Cave. I think Birthday Party.
That's another millimeter, dude. You need to move a Vespa or something, and then like it pops out, and it's like, fuck my back. Leonard Cohen, it is.
That's why he doesn't have shoelaces, bro.
Yeah, no shoelaces, dude. Zip.
That's right.
He doesn't want to push it that far.
No, you can't push it.
In the grand spectrum of millimeter displacement of freaking intervertebral discs, how does it go? Wait, hold on. If it's like a little one, it's Leonard Cohen, Tom Waits, and Nick Cave. Is that
3 millimeter is Leonard Cohen.
That's a great.
Where does Dylan fit in there?
Dylan, I think Dylan is just discomfort. It's not really a herniation. I think it's kind of like, I hate the cold. I'm going to Greenwich Village from Minnesota.
That's a great way to put it. Are we doing this? Yeah,
is this freaking orthopedic ingenuity over here? Like, we got, so Dylan is discomfort. And then what did we say? Leonard Cohen.
Is 2 to 4. Okay.
And then 4 to 6 is
Tom Waits.
And then 6 to 8 is all the way, what did we say, Leonard Cohen? No.
Nick Cave.
Nick Cave. Nick Cave. Bad Seeds. Yeah. All right. Let it be known. Okay. What's next for you guys? What's going on? What's going to happen? Moving on. 2016. What's next?
Finishing a video that we're going to release. And as for like how we're going to release, just YouTube, all that madness. It's like, it's crazy to think like, what are the ways you release music nowadays? It's all digital. So the video will come out within the month. So, you know, by the end of the month, Hopefully we'll have a video edited. Danny's doing the edit right now.
Well, yeah, first, Danny, how much time do you want? I can later edit and say, this show will be edited in 6 months.
Oh, no. We're going to have a really great top tier editor come in and like help us just do finalizations and kind of like glossing it over and all that shit. And he's worked on like fucking really amazing stuff, you know, all across the board. And, but we're doing, you know, music video stuff. I'm definitely less than a month is my goal.
So within January, we're going to have a video out. That'll be available online.
I guess we all got goals, Fonz.
Yeah, let's do this.
2016.
Don't fly, bro.
Don't fly the year goals get achieved.
Yeah.
We have a show in downtown LA on March 26th, Saturday night, at Art Share, which is a really great, awesome. It's a beautiful like warehouse brick building. You know, it's got a front gallery, art gallery. It's got installations or paintings and just whoever is, you know, taking up that space. And then the back is a music venue. And so we're going to do kind of a deconstructed version of what we do, which is in the full spectrum, it's very much full rock. But
we're a loud band. Very loud.
We are a loud band. So this band, we have to kind of go more acoustic and a little bit more just kind of, you know, dwindled down in essence and whatever.
You can bring it down in volume. Yeah. It's still going to have all the textures.
Dynamically, it'll be different.
But we're going to do like almost like a 90s unplugged video. Like,
MTV
seriously, we're getting a whole
style.
Film crew.
Yeah.
And that's going to be fun. Like, I want to.
But we're going to have some cool artists, friends of ours opening up for us as well. Yeah.
And so then possibly playing with us. And it'll just be a really great vibe and all that kind of stuff. So that show that everybody can either go and buy on DVD after we release it or come to the show in the Arts District. It's like right off of Alameda, like right in that hot spot.
All that shitty traffic on Santa Fe.
All that bullshit.
And the weird smell right at Santa Fe and 7th.
That's
smell.
All the bodies that haven't decomposed.
Probably right.
AntennaTheEnd.com. Where else do we find you on social media?
Instagram.
Definitely Instagram.
/ AntennaTheEnd on Instagram.
That's our photo journal. It's like where we post our shows. It's where we post any kind of
the
stuff
Facebook
that's going on.
Friend of AntennaTheEnd.
Mm-hmm. There's SoundCloud to listen to stuff. And
we haven't even been on our own
Vimeo.
Awesome. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you guys.
David, Brock, Danny, we can't thank you enough.
Can't forget Isabel.
Bella.
And hey, we got to shout out to Bella.
Bella.
Wait, Bella does some quite right costume design and...
She's going to design all our costumes if Danny lets her.
No, fuck that shit.
Hey, wait a minute. All right, hey.
Costume designer.
Because, you're on. Let's talk about that. Isn't she on IMDb?
IMDb, yeah.
That's right.
I saw your credits.
That's how I know this lady.
Wait, did you see her credit score or her credits?
She checked your FICO. They're like, the FICO isn't bad. We can interview your FICO isn't bad. Or do you interview people with really low FICO scores to get a story?
That would be awesome, right? How'd you get here? How did we get here?
That's another podcast.
The music video was definitely designed by me and helped by Bella, who is sitting by me.
Yeah.
So, you know, all
Bella,
of our
Bella. Thank you guys.
Video is DIY. It's all about DIY. No fucking record label intervention. Bullshit.
You guys sound like podcasters now.
Fuck
that.
Antenna Van has a huge
DIY.
Do it yourself.
DIY.
Crew behind the whole operation.
DIY.
Guys.
Not DUI.
No DUIs.
No.
We better hurry up and cut tape because that market's going to close and we need to get another Tanqueray bottle.
Awesome.
Fonz. Fucking number 42, The Pilot.
Amazing, dude. 2016 is going to be great.
Respect yourself as a human being. Go poop in front of the David Harvey building on Santa Fe.